You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
When we say seek advice, brothers and sisters, you cannot just seek the advice of just anyone. Because a problem we have in our communities is that you see people consulting just random people. People who have no idea what they're talking about. That's why when you seek advice from someone, make sure that they have expertise. They are experts in the field. Yeah, and you don't go and ask a doctor, obviously, should I invest in Dogecoin? This is obvious, man, right? As someone who has more expertise in that field. And that's why, you know, this is a problem that I see even with the ulama. I was in Canada recently. One night after the lecture, you know how people always ask advice from the ulama, the scholars. Someone says, Sayyid, I have a question. I thought it was going to be a religious question. He says, Sayyid, I have a legal question about his green card. It's like, why are you asking me? How am I supposed to know? Should I do this? Should I sign this application or this application? I don't know. I'm a religious scholar. Even if I know something, but you're not coming to the right person. Go and ask someone who's an expert in law. Unfortunately, sometimes we ask the scholars things that they were not even trained to do. You know what? Example? Dream interpretation. I went to the house of 15 years. Not one day did I see there's a class of dream interpretation. Not one day did I see ulama telling us, our teachers, come and learn dream interpretation. I learned Quran, I learned hadith, I learned akhlaq. I come here, people just ask me, what does this dream mean? What does that dream mean? Habibi, that's not my expertise. I never studied dream interpretation. Aslan, there is no class in Qom, Najaf, and Mashhad, any of these cities that teach you dream interpretation. So don't go to that just because I'm wearing this imama doesn't mean I know how to do dream interpretation. How do you do it? Dream interpretation? I personally believe it's a gift from Allah. Allah gives it to whoever He wants. It's not something that could be acquired. It's not something that could be taught. This is one example. Let me give you another example that we ulama, you know, we see. Many times we mention this. We're asked about gelatin. Is gelatin halal or haram? So the answer the ulama give, they say, look, if it's from a non-Muslim country and it's taken from animals, then it is halal if it goes through istihala, meaning if there is a chemical change, a substance change. Over and over again, me and hundreds of ulama. After we mention this, we are asked, Sayyid, does gelatin go through istihala? How am I supposed to know? And I study the Quran. I don't study labs and what happens to gelatin in the lab. Habibi, go visit a lab and see if istihala happens. We don't even know which questions we're supposed to ask, brothers and sisters. And I can tell you about the Quran, about the hadith. But gelatin, does it go through istihala or does it? That's not my expertise. Even if I tell you, this is just an opinion. This is a layman opinion. This is not an expert opinion. Ask people who have what? Who have expertise in the food industry. There are some people, their jobs are food technicians. Ask those individuals, even if they're not Muslim. Ask them to describe to you exactly how the, you know, how, what happens to gelatin when they take it from the animal until it becomes, you know, the product, the gummy bears or whatever. So don't come and ask the scholar every question just because he is a scholar. Ask him what he is trained to do. This is the correct mashwara. This is the correct way of consulting the ulama. Ask them about things that they were taught to do. Now, there's a hadith. I only have 3 minutes. Real quickly, so I can't get into the detail. There's a hadith from Imam Ali and Rasulullah. They mention the same thing. They say three people, never consult them. Number one, al-jaban, the coward. Or to a lesser degree, the timid. Some people who are always negative. They never want to take risk. Never ask them for advice. Why? They'll always discourage you. They'll always point to the negatives. You want to sell your house? Wait. It'll get more expensive. Sah? You want to buy a house? Wait. It will get less expensive. Ya Ami, what do I do? It's either going to go up or down. They always discourage you. Jaban. Because he's always afraid. He doesn't want to sell. He doesn't want to buy. You want to go to ziyara? La, don't. There's COVID. There is ma'adri. There's that. It's not safe. Some people, they're always pessimistic, always negative. Jaban, khawaf. Do not Ask such individuals. Number two, the hadith of the Prophet Imam Ali says, وَلَا تَسْتَشِرْ الْبَخِيلِ. Bakhil, can we please have the young ones quiet down a little, please? The second one is the stingy one. لَا تَسْتَشِرْ الْبَخِيلِ. Al-Bakhil is the stingy one. Why? Because the Bakhil, the stingy one, he will discourage you from giving, from spending. You want to spend? He makes it seem as if it's going to be Yawm al-Qiyamah tomorrow. La ya ammi, inflation, or COVID, or Russia, or World War III, don't spend. So he discourages you from spending. He discourages you from giving a sadaqah. You want to give a sadaqah? He's always trying to find ways to discourage you from giving sadaqah. For example, he tells you, in our communities, our masajid don't need. MashaAllah, there's so many wealthy people that are giving. Aslan, what did the masajid do? What expenses do they have? Don't seek advice from a bakhil. These are just excuses. The real reason why he's telling you don't give to this masjid or that masjid, because he's bakhil. He's stingy. He's not just stingy with his money. He's stingy even with your money. He doesn't want you to spend even your money. So he will tell you, look at these masajid. They're not doing anything. Who can I trust? Do they really need this? Tell him, yalla ammi, I won't spend it here. Let me send it to Lebanon. Don't send it to Lebanon because they're all thieves there and you don't know who's going to spend it. You don't know who's going to, the faqir is going to take it. What do I do with my money? Keep it in your bank account. This is what the bakhil does to you. So do not never ask financial consultation from a bakhil, from a stingy person. And finally, I have 1 minute left. The third one is whom? Al-Haris, the one who is greedy. Someone who is greedy for the dunya, do not ask him for advice. Because what? Because he will try to justify haram for you. He will try to find immoral ways for you to make money. You ask him, brother, how do I, you know, become rich? How do I become successful? He'll give you financial advice. Guess what? He'll teach you ways of making money that involve fraud, tax evasion, lying to people, correct? These individuals, don't take advice from them. You live in a kafir country, take their money. The problem is the hirs. There is too much hirs. That means there is too much greed. Do not seek advice from the greedy person. So once again, to sum up, make sure they are experts. And at the same time, do not seek the advice of the one who is who? Jaban, timid, who's a coward. Number two, the greedy. Number two, the stingy. And number three, the greedy.